Hello and welcome to Studio 525, the official podcast from Pleasure Beach Resort. My name's Andy and I'm your host for this front row access to never before heard updates, exclusive interviews, and if we're very lucky, some behind the scenes trade secrets as well. Are the ones I'm looking forward to, certainly. Now then, who better to start this series than the big boss of Pleasure Beach Resort? It's Amanda Thompson, OBE. Welcome. Hello.
Hi, Andy. Great to see you.
Great to see you as well. So much to talk about, and we'll keep going until we've said everything we need to say, I think.
Okay.
Well, you certainly. You've got plenty to tell us, I'm sure. Let's start by telling me all about Pleasure Beach Resort. What is it special about it being a family business?
Well, I think what's exciting about it being a family business is every time you go down a corner or go into a storeroom or go anywhere really here, there's something that reminds you of your great-grandfather, your grandfather, your father, or your grandmother. And also, there's all the memories and the stories that I have buried deep down inside me, and there's lots of them. I have some great memories of my grandmother sitting down, telling me stories over lunchtime. But I think what's really special about a family business is the fact that you can make the decisions there and then. And you make the decisions that you believe are right for the business that you're running. And that's what's exciting. You don't have to wait for ages for that decision to happen. You can make it that day and you can see it happen reasonably quickly.
That must be quite a pressurised environment to be in.
It's hugely pressurised. You also make mistakes, but the great thing is you can learn by them and you can correct them very, very quickly. And I think that's what's really exciting about being in a family business. You can really do things, really think about it, discover it, and go for it.
That's good.
So I think that's the way I look at it all.
You mentioned about the family being everywhere you look on the park. I mean, how emotional is that when you uncover a memory from your childhood, you open another door and there's a room you remember going into when you were a little girl?
I think it's really nice because it means that they're still with you and everybody feels close to you. But it's also very difficult if you want to change anything, because every time you want to change anything, not only do I have to deal with my memories of what they created, but I also have to deal with all the pressure of all the fans and the people that love Pleasure Beach. And that's really difficult, because my grandmother would always say, change things as much as possible. It's really important to keep making that change. It's really essential to bring people back.
And that is highlighted as well when you look at the old YouTube videos of the park 40 years ago. It bears absolutely no resemblance to the way it looks now. Mm-hmm. And yet people at the time would have said, oh, that's my Pleasure Beach, that's my era, I don't want any change. And yet you've changed this park over the last 20 years in a completely different direction, haven't you?
Well, I hope that I have changed it for the good, and I hope I've changed it for the right reasons. And I think what I really wanted to do was, my grandfather was very interested in architecture, and I really love design and architecture. And so that I wanted to really look at things in a different way to how my father looked at things. He built the biggest, the tallest, the fastest. And he was lucky, because he was in an era where he could do that. I'm not saying it was more affordable then, but they were different times. And I think now we have to look at things in a very different way. So I try to look at the style of things and how things can grow and change for the better. Mm. And of course I want to build tallest, fastest, biggest, best, but it's how do I afford to do that? How do I get there? And what's the best way for me to get there for our guests? And I've got to constantly think that I'm just the custodian of our business, and it's a family business. And
do you feel then, I mean, you mentioned it's great being part of a private limited company where you make the decisions, things can happen by tea time.
At the end of the day, I make decisions based on what I feel is the best thing for our business, and that really is for our fans as well. It's for all the new people that want to come and enjoy Pleasure Beach. Blackpool's here to create a generation, a resort for the future, and to make sure there is a Blackpool for tomorrow. I think it's really important that we have a Blackpool for tomorrow, because when you look at the coastal seaside resorts in the UK, they're not thriving, and we need to make them thrive. We really, really need to make them thrive, and we do that by everyone working together, no one being negative, everyone being positive, and remembering that there's a little bit of Blackpool in everyone. Because most people have been here. I've said that a lot of times.
You have said that a lot of times. Yeah. I do like that phrase. I mean, you are such a proud ambassador for Blackpool. What would you say to people who have never visited the town? And why should they come here?
Well, I think there's so much of interest here. There's a beautiful, beautiful beach. You can walk for miles, 11 or 12 miles of promenade, which is fantastic. Very few places have that much. If you love to run, you can run. Clearly, I don't do that. I should, but I don't. But if you want to run, you can. You can see amazing architecture. When you look at the tower and you look at the tower ballroom and the tower circus, that's fantastic to know that that was constructed well over 100 years ago, and it is just stunningly beautiful. And also the Opera House, the Grand Theatre, which I'm lucky enough to be patron of. And there's some amazing places in this town.
So there's a mixture of the old and the new, a little bit like here at Pleasure Beach. So many people feel that sense of nostalgia we've touched on about the place. You're also home to an incredible set of new rides. You just announced the new ride as well for 2026. So how do you balance preserving the old with injecting the new? You said you've got to keep evolving. There's got to always be something new to say about Pleasure Beach.
I think also you've got to take into account that people's body shapes have changed. Everything has changed. Health and safety has changed. So clearly we have to take out some of the old rides, because health and safety and legislation doesn't allow for that type of ride to exist anymore. And if you want to alter something that's really old, it's really complicated. And also, do you really want to drive a vintage car every day? No, you don't. It's a heyday holiday type of feel that you have there. But I think also some of our rides, such as the flying machines, they're much easier to maintain because they're very simple. And we are at this moment in time, with the health and safety regulations that we have, allowed to run those still. So I'm very lucky that we can still do that. So I think Sandy Toksvig's grandfather or something built those, something like that.
That's
some
a fact.
There's some sort of strange connection there.
That's a random factoid.
There is, because Sahara Maxim designed them, and he designed the machine gun as well. So yeah, that's extraordinary. And you can, if you're very careful and you come on one of our talks and walk-arounds, you can go underneath and see all the workings of the flying machines. And that's really extraordinarily interesting, because that is all the original working still going today. So that's fantastic. Everybody wants something new, faster, exciting. Mm. And I think that's what we've got to deliver. We've got to remember what we're here for. We're here to create fun and excitement. And that is what's exciting about coming to an amusement park. You get that adrenaline rush. But we need to do that in a different way, and we need to be planning for the future, and we need to be creating for the future. And we've got so many exciting rides that we want to put here at Pleasure Beach, but we just haven't got the space. I've got 42 acres. That's all I have here. Mm. And
you're landlocked on all sides, aren't you? There's no way
I am. I've got the sea on one
side. You've got the sea on one side.
The sea on one side.
You haven't persuaded houses the council on to build on the sand.
Well, there was one time. There was one time that we were going to build out to the sea and go across the road. But, you know, I'm not prepared to take that risk, because we have to think about how often a ride can operate. And I don't want to sell disappointment. And I know that this year, everybody's been very disappointed that we've closed certain rides. But quite frankly, very few people could go on that baby carousel that I closed. Mm-hmm. That baby carousel was for babies. And I certainly couldn't even put my finger on it. So I don't know why there was so much uproar about that.
Well, it's just about change, isn't it? People just don't...
They don't like change.
Like change.
Change is exciting. That's what it is. Certainly exciting here at Pleasure Beach. Wait till next year comes.
Can't wait to see the new ride. What's your favourite ride?
My favourite ride?
Yeah, go on.
Well, that depends.
And has it changed over the years?
Well, it depends on my mood, really. Because some days I love Icon, some days I love the big one. But the ride that wins out most of all is Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, of course.
It just, I love that ride. I just love going, I don't know what it is. I think it's very, for me, it sparks my imagination. Going through and down, I don't know whether you meant to say going down that rabbit hole. I don't know what that means today. It probably means something really awful, but I do like it.
Or write in.
Well, that's fine. They can write
in. Put it in the notes.
But I do love Alice in Wonderland.
There's something quite crazy about Alice in Wonderland, isn't there? Because you go on and the soundtrack is from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And it's... Why?
Because it's fun, and only you know that, but now you've told everyone. Yes. But I think, truthfully, there's a lot that's great about Alice in Wonderland, and there's a lot. I mean, I remember I was working in London, and I was doing some window displays for Harrods at the time, and Harvey Nichols had some amazing window displays that they wanted to get rid of. And so I went along and I said, I'll take those off your hands, because they were only going to throw them away. And so I managed to get a truck down there and pick up all these big window displays, and they were huge. And they were in Alice in Wonderland for years. Fantastic. And years and years. And that was
recycling,
so,
you see? Yeah. Upcycling.
But you see, I'm always thinking of sustainability. But it was a really good thing. And that was just part of my life at that time.
So you're gathering ideas wherever you go then?
Always.
For rides. Yes.
But not only for rides, also for shows. And what's really exciting is I have ride manufacturers coming here all the time, visiting the park, because we are one of the most unique parks where everything is so intertwined, and we're the most ride-intensive park in the world. Because of that, people come here who manufacture rides and who create rides to see how we've developed the park, because they know that when they want to do something for somebody else, they can create that added excitement by looking how we've developed things here. So they put rides together that they can sell all over the world for people to create that really exciting, enticing, entwining atmosphere that we have here.
And likewise, of course, you travel the world, you visit these parks, you see what rides are on offer there. What's your favourite ride worldwide?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'd say that, truthfully, I love the Cars ride at Disney. But is it my favourite ride? Arthur at Europa Park, probably. Okay. I love that ride. But then there are so many rides. Ah, no, there's a roller coaster. Is it called Hagrid's Adventure? I don't know what it's called. It's at Universal Studio, and you sit in a sidecar and there's a motorbike. That's an amazing coaster. There's so many amazing coasters in the world. And then you've got rides at Liseberg that are so fabulous. And I remember going on Helix with Andreas Anderson, and he says he's never heard such awful language in his life as when he rode that ride with me. So he now likes to travel the world with me, going on the fastest, the tallest, the any type of roller coaster that he can. And he tapes me.
To hear the screams?
Yeah. No, yeah. The bad language, I think. Because I get so frightened.
You mentioned Universal there.
Yeah.
It's certainly the subject of the week at the moment, isn't it? And it's coming to the UK in 2031. How do you feel?
I am thrilled. I'm so excited about this. I've known about it for a while, and I was actually talking to Angela Rayner. She asked me what my view was about it about 18 months ago. And I said, well, I think it has to be one of the best things that could ever happen to the country. Certainly, it's the best thing in my lifetime to have happened in our industry in the UK. And I think that we all can be incredibly proud that Universal Studios have chosen the UK to build their attraction. I think it's fantastic news for all of us.
Will that have a knock-on effect to other parks in the UK, do you think?
I hope so. I really hope it will be very beneficial to all of us, because I think it'll bring a lot of people inbound tourism. I think people who love Universal or fans of Universal will come. England's a very small country, so you can come and you can go to Universal, and maybe you can go on a Universal amusement park trip and go around the whole of the UK. You can go to Altonthorpe, Chessington, Drayton Manor, Pleasure Beach. Go to all the parks in the UK and see all the attractions and throw in some stately homes. And I think it's going to be fantastic. And hopefully the Eden Project in Morecambe will be built by then.
Of course, yes.
So that will be... I think there's some exciting times ahead for the UK and our industry. And I think that we've got to understand that the amusement park industry is a true industry, and you can have a proper job here.
So will the arrival of Universal sort of force the competition even more? Will it up the game at parks all over the country, including Pleasure Beach?
Well, I think that we've all tried to up the game over the years, and all of us try to improve our parks and change direction and innovate. I mean, we won't be able to innovate to the level that they do, because they have a huge budget to work to. But what there is there's room for every type of attraction. And I think what we have is very different to what Universal provides. And I think that all the parks in England are very unique in what they deliver and give to their guests. And I think what Universal will do is give that stamp of approval for our industry and make people truly understand that coming to an amusement park is actually a great day out, and it's suitable for everyone. It's classless.
You're very involved with IAPA, of course, internationally. Tell us about that. What is it and what's your role in it? What do you enjoy about it?
Well, IAPA is the International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions. I've been very involved in that probably all my adult life. I think I first went to a trade show when I was 16 or 17 with my father in America. My great-grandfather was probably one of the first people that from overseas that actually talked at IAPA. He used to travel from the UK by boat to New York and then get the train to Chicago and lecture on our industry in Chicago at their events that they had. And but my grandfather was the first international member.
That's
and so he put the I in IAPA. But I love it. And I think that what's really great is you meet people from our industry and you meet people from all areas of our industry, but you meet people who share innovations and ideas, and I think that's invaluable. I think our industry is a lucky industry because we all share so much.
Those changing of ideas, swapping of ideas, not just in this country but internationally as well. What differences then are there between the parks here in the UK and parks internationally, would you say?
I think that change is lessening, and I think it's shrinking because I think really everybody's moving up at the same pace. And IAPA is now a global association. It was very much an American association. Now it's a global association. And I think that everybody travels a lot more, so everyone sees a lot more. And so they borrow ideas and they talk to everyone, they create things. And I think also some of the engineers and the designers, they think globally now. They don't think just for America. They think on a much bigger scale. And I think we've all had to think like that. And so I believe that we have, I think what's really great about places like Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi is, and China, of course, they have a lot of brand new amusement parks, Japan too. And that's always lovely to be able to start from scratch and have the money and to have the ability to design a park like that is exciting, exhilarating. And that's what's going to be so, so special about everything that happens with Universal. But I think we've had a lot of parks. They're so small in comparison to Universal. And I think that everybody's got to be really excited. I was very involved with Europa Park as it was developing because I was lucky enough to work there for 13 years. I was doing the shows at Europa Park. So I've seen Europa Park grow and grow. And it's a fantastic park, Europa Park. For those of you that have never been, you have to go because it's special.
You mentioned the shows. We've got to talk about the shows here at Pleasure Beach. They are part of the furniture. You've been working on Hot Ice now for more years than you care to remember.
I keep thinking it's not that long, really, but I think it's...
Oh, it is.
Is it? How many years is it? About 20, 25?
Easily. 25 years?
Oh, my God, that sounds a long time.
Must be.
But then it sounds like yesterday, because I remember my first... I think it was in 1992 or something, my first
ice
show.
Well, that's over 30 years ago.
Oh, hell! Oh, I think it was about then I did my first ice show here. But I had a theatre company before that, and so I was doing ice shows in America before I did them here. So I did ice show. We had a park in America called Magic Harbour in Myrtle Beach, and we had an ice show there, and my father didn't particularly like the show, and I was over there. And he said, I want you to do a new show here because I don't like this one. And I said, well, when do you want me to do it? He said, within the next month. And I thought, oh, within the next month. Well, okay. I came back to the UK. I put my thinking cap on and came up with a show. And I had to use the cast that were there. And so I changed it all about. And he said, well, it'll be better next year. So that's all he said to me. I did this show and he said, it'll be better next year. So that's how
and
I started.
Gone, and it's gone getting better every year since.
Well, I'd like to think that, but I don't know. You're sort of, I think the good thing about shows is you're always judged on the last show that you did.
Yes.
But I think what's exciting for me was I got to travel all over the world doing shows. And I wasn't just thrown in at the deep end at Pleasure Beach. I was given the freedom to set up a company called Stageworks Worldwide Productions. And so I was lucky to be able to travel everywhere doing shows, and I did see some amazing places on top of mountains in Switzerland, in Thailand, where the ice wouldn't freeze because we were outside, and I'm ringing my father panicking about how do I get the ice to freeze, and eventually we got it to freeze. But it was a very interesting way of learning your trade.
And of course the show offer expanded so much, didn't it, in the 90s?
Oh, yes.
Remember Mystique as well with Tom Bright and Vladimir?
Yes, Vlad. Well, we're still friends, of course, yes. Vlad and I. But I did a lot of shows here in Blackpool. Mm. And they were exciting times, particularly Mystique. Mystique was a very good show. Mystique was in the Horseshoe Bar. It was very intimate and it was a great magic show. To do magic that close to everyone, I want to bring that show back. I really do.
It would because be lovely, wouldn't it?
It would be great because the dancing was fab. It was really cool. The costumes were great. The magic was great. Everything about Mystique was
it was cool, wasn't it?
It was very cool.
Right down to the smell of the incense when you walked in.
It was very cool.
It really got you in that frame of mind. It was dark.
It was. It was dark. It was mysterious.
And then Stephen saw somebody enough.
Yeah, he did. In his black silk boxes.
Indeed. Oh, yes, you remember that then.
We all remember that because he insisted on having them.
So hot ice coming up very soon, of course. Yeah. We're getting near hot ice season again.
Yeah.
Wait till summer's here.
Well, I think hot ice is... It's a shame, actually, more people around the world don't actually come and see hot ice because it is probably one of the most challenging ice shows any skater can skate in. Mm-hmm. It's certainly very, very... It's the fastest moving ice show I've ever seen in my life. This year, I've got various members of Cirque du Soleil coming to do hot ice because they've been desperate to do it, and it just so happens that their show closes and mine starts rehearsals, so they've all been on the phone to me, and so everyone talks in our industry, and next year it's the Olympics. So everybody wants to do a special show this year because next year some of those big skaters will be coming out of the amateur status and turning professional.
And it's always truly international as well, isn't it? You go backstage at Hot Ice and everyone's jabbering away in all sorts of European languages. And they must understand the show, the concept and the script, such as it is.
Well, I think what's exciting about it is it's an art form of sport. And basically, we're performing a ballet with elite sportsmen. And that can be very complicated and challenging. But the moves are the moves, and you perform them in a certain way, and you need a certain know-how to be able to do them. So all our skaters are supremely talented. And I have an extremely good choreographer. I mean, Ole Jääskeläinen is from Finland. Yes. And he
was your leading man for many years, wasn't
many
he?
Many years, yeah. But he also is an Olympian. And he trained in Canada, and he now teaches in Canada. And he teaches with Brian Orser, who trains the best Olympians in the world. So I think that, quite frankly, I have the best of the best teaching the best of the best. And so what's exciting about the show is that it's live. And it's a sport, it's an art, it's creative, but it is also terrifying to watch at times because you just don't know what's going to happen, if they're going to actually land that triple. And sometimes they're very competitive, the skaters. They try to go for quads and things. And when you go to the other shows, they're not allowed to do that. I allow my skaters to push themselves a little because some people come from doing hot ice and go back into the amateur world and go back to do the Olympics again. Several have over the years.
I've seen the look on your face on that first night where you're looking out on the ice.
Well, there's nothing I can do then. There's nothing I can do. My work's done after the opening night. My work is most definitely done then.
Here's a question for you, Amanda. Is there anybody who you are inspired by?
I'm inspired by loads of people. My father inspired me the most, but sadly he's no longer with us. But I'm inspired by loads of people. I'm inspired by Andreas Anderson, Jacob Ball, Josh Powers. There's so many people who inspire me in the world because John McReynolds from Universal Studios. I am lucky that I have worked with some amazing people. Doug Stagner, who's in Saudi Arabia now. My friends inspire me, I think. I think I'm very lucky that I have amazing friends, and I am inspired by them. Gosh, Steve, my husband, he gives me the chance and the freedom to be who I am, and that's inspirational because he doesn't stifle me at all, which is nice.
Married 21 years this year?
Oh, apparently so.
I'm counting, are you?
Well, clearly someone is. That's good news.
How do you see the attractions industry changing in the coming years, Mans, and what trends are emerging? You've got to be on top of the latest trend, haven't you, all the time at Pleasure Beach?
I think, really, reality is what people want. They want something faster and they want something smoother. They want to sort of be scared. They want to have their adrenaline free-flowing. But then there's also those people that love virtual reality. I'm not a huge fan of that because I don't really want to put goggles on and see something and feel something that isn't real. I like to feel reality around me.
Well, let's touch on AI just briefly before we finish.
But there's AI, that's lovely.
Yes.
I love AI.
Well, I mean, that's going to have some kind of an impact, isn't it, on the industry here on theme parks? I mean, how do you
see? I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. I think AI is very, very exciting. I really don't understand it. But when I see things on Instagram, like, I don't know, dancing pigs, whatever it is. I love it. I think it makes me giggle. And why is it making me giggle so much? I have no idea.
Have you seen the latest trend? Have you had a doll made of yourself yet?
Well, I think somebody's made several dolls of me, which is not very pleasant. But yeah, they have. But I just think that some of the things, costumes, beautiful costumes are created. And the houses and the design that people come up with, I think that's where it's really exciting. When you see all the designs and the creativity that comes out of AI, that has to be a good thing because it's keeping minds creative. And I think we've lost a bit of that creativity previously. And I think AI is going to bring it all back. And I know people say, oh, it's not good. People just copy everything. But they're not. They're creating something new in a different way. And I think it's really exciting. And I think music's going to be exciting because musicians are working with AI. And so it's going to be fantastic. I think we're going to see a lot of changes. It's going to be, I think we've got to sort of love it, not loathe it.
You've certainly got the sort of the passion for the future.
I have because yeah. I like change.
Yes, that's good. Amanda Thompson, it has been an absolute joy to talk to you on this first ever podcast here at Pleasure Beach and to give us such an incredible insight as well. And so many changes coming, looking forward to the new ride next year, but we're embarking on the 2025 season now. So much to do, so many new things to come to Pleasure Beach for and come to Blackpool for, of course, as well.
Well, I think the great thing about Pleasure Beach is that we do so many different things. We have so many different ways that you can enjoy Pleasure Beach. You can go in and out during the day. You can have a season pass and meet up with your friends somewhere else and then all come back in together. I think being in a resort makes Pleasure Beach unique, certainly with attractions in the UK, because not many attractions are in a resort. And I think Pleasure Beach is lucky that it sits within Blackpool. And what we have to do is we have to make sure that Blackpool and Pleasure Beach remain the greatest places to be and make them even better daily.
Amanda, thank you so much.
Thank you, Andy.
For joining us on this very first episode. Now then, if you've enjoyed this one, there's plenty of opportunities to join us again and meet some more people here at Pleasure Beach as well. Plenty more to come, but if there's any subject that you'd like us to cover, then let us know. And we want to see you coming back and joining us again and again. This is going to be a series that's ongoing for quite a while. Amanda's not the first person, she's the first person in the hot seat, but she won't be the last. Plenty to come.
Hopefully we'll be doing lots of podcasts.
Let us know in the comments and we'll see you next time. From both of us, bye-bye.
Goodbye.